Thank you. So today I'm going to be talking about the barriers and facilitators for implementing evidence-based interventions with trans women. And I may say EBIs, which is evidence-based interventions with trans women, or refer to them as DEBIs, which is just the program, the compendium of the interventions that the CC funds. I work with the Center of Excellence for Transgender Health. I'm here with one of my colleagues, Danielle Castro, and our program director will be in very shortly, Joanne Keatley. Our mission is to increase access to comprehensive, effective, and affirming healthcare services for trans and gender variant communities. And we do a lot of our work with the support and the advice of our National Advisory Board. So there are 12 sort of experts within the field of transgender health from throughout the United States. We have several projects at the Center of Excellence for Transgender Health. The main ones are listed here. The Transitions Project and CATCH are both community capacity building support projects that are directly funded by the CDC. And we've launched primary care protocols, which are available on our website for the provision of care, primary health care for transgender patients, and as well as some research projects that we have. So the goal of the Transitions Project, which is the project that I work on, is to help organizations adapt, implement, and evaluate evidence-based HIV prevention interventions for trans people. The work that I did to be able to put this slide together was I looked at several of the best practices that we have. So the best practices for HIV prevention among trans populations, which was a document that we produced in 2008. The best practices for adapting EBIs for trans women, which was just last year in 2011. As well as data and TA notes from technical assistance delivery to organizations that are currently implementing interventions. And all of these together, I looked at them and just noted the common barriers and the common facilitators for implementing interventions with trans populations. So very briefly, some background about the data sources. The best practices for HIV prevention among trans populations was a California-based study. We distributed a survey to all organizations throughout California who were serving trans populations. We received results back from 28 of those organizations. And then we did some data analysis to determine 8 best practices. The best practices for adopting EBIs for trans women was research that we conducted that was a request from the 06618 CDC grantees. So they were 7 organizations who were funded by the CDC to adapt and implement evidence-based interventions with trans women. And the data analysis yielded 9 of the best practices. So just generally, what some of these were the overlapping themes. I'm not going to discuss all of them in detail, but I'm hoping to sort of hit on most of them as I'm talking about the sort of larger themes that we've seen. So some of the barriers, funding interventions that just don't fit for the population, impact of transphobia, staff turnover, recruitment and retention, facilitators, really hiring trans staff, and then beyond hiring trans staff, providing support for trans staff members, community involvement, trust, and cultural competency. So around the funding barrier that we have, in the best practices for HIV prevention among trans populations, the agencies that responded to the survey reported $0 to $383,000 budget for their trans programming. So, how great is your trans programming going to be if your budget is $0? And really, organizations are very committed to providing services for trans populations, and it's hard to do that well with no money. And the best practices for adapting EBIs, really it's a lot, funding is needed to adapt interventions because the process takes anywhere between 6 months to 12 months, typically, to adapt one of the interventions for trans populations. And on that, so does anybody know in here how many interventions were specifically developed for trans populations? How many HIV prevention interventions that are approved by the CDC? Zero. Hey, smarty pants in the back. Yeah, right. Zero. There's zero interventions. We know that we have an estimated HIV prevalence for trans women in the United States that was from a meta-analysis by Jeff Herbst over at the CDC, and it's the estimated prevalence is 28% among trans women. That number really increases and jumps up to 56% for African-American trans women. So we know that in the United States, trans women are one of the populations most impacted by HIV. And there are no interventions that were specifically designed to meet the needs of trans women. And so the interventions that we have available just don't fit. So in some of our TA deliveries, we've had to have organizations that have had to change interventions because they were implementing it and really trying to use something very often, interventions that were originally designed for gay and bisexual men, and trying to make that fit the needs of trans women. And sometimes it just doesn't work. So these interventions do not fit. And, you know, it creates a lot of struggle and a lot of issues because there are currently no approved interventions for trans women that have been proven effective. So another barrier that we have across all of the data sources is just the impact of transphobia, the huge impact that, you know, both structural transphobia has, and then, you know, like every kind of layer of transphobia really impacts the HIV prevention interventions. So, we've had many organizations tell us that their outreach workers are picked up by the police or are harassed by the police, or that if their outreach workers are actually engaging in conversations with potential participants or trying to do outreach to women on the street, that then the cops are targeting potential participants on the street. Additionally, incarceration is a huge issue, particularly for multi-session group interventions. So because people are, you know, have such high levels of police profiling, we heard a lot in the best practices data and also in our TA delivery that incarceration of the participants really impacts and affects the retention. And then, you know, just difficulty finding a program space. Very often, you know, it's hard for CBOs to even be able to rent a building to deliver the intervention or to find an area that they can deliver an intervention because nobody will rent to them once they tell them what they're going to be doing and the population that's going to be there. And then I think the most unfortunate thing and what's really difficult for us as technical assistance providers is the impact that transphobic hate violence has on the programs. So we provide technical assistance to all of the directly funded CDC organizations, as well as many of the health department organizations that are adapting and implementing evidence-based interventions for trans women. And probably about 75 to 80% of all of the agencies that we've worked with have had participants who are murdered during the time of working with them. And so, you know, that extreme amount of transphobia, it halts the programming. You know, the participants are not wanting to come in to go into group level interventions because the community is really trying to deal with and cope with extreme loss within their program participants and just within their general community. So we're developing, in response to that, with the assistance of our National Advisory Board, we're developing some resources to help agencies when they're dealing with this, which is horrible, right? Like we should not have to be developing resources to help agencies cope with murder. So on a more positive note, some facilitators for implementing interventions with trans populations, really hiring and then beyond hiring, developing and supporting trans staff. So all of the agencies that we've worked with that have had, you know, successful adaptations or have successfully been implementing interventions have had trans people on the program staff, and not trans people not just on the trans programs, but trans people throughout the organization. You know, trans people represented on the board of directors within the agency, trans people as supervisors, and we've worked with several organizations who are able to provide clinical supervision to their staff and found that to be very helpful in supporting their staff. And then, again, that goes back to some of the funding barriers. Community involvement is also an incredible facilitator, so being able to get buy-in from the community, being able to have the community feel like their opinions are valued, having a community advisory board is a great facilitator. So this quote is, if they, meaning trans community members, are not involved, they'll feel like this is not part of their lives and they will not own the program. Another facilitator is just transcultural competency. And again, this is transcultural competency beyond the program staff that within the organization. So this is, you know, everyone from the reception to security to every single person who works at the agency, whether or not they're going to be coming into contact with the trans clients, really having that embedded as part of the culture of the organization. So one of the ways that one organization reported this to us is there was a team advocating for trans visibility and including it in a lot of different areas. One being staff trainings and new employee trainings because people had kind of bad experiences at the front desk or checking in. And then just a note, aside from the barriers and facilitators, I'm sure everybody is probably well aware of high impact prevention strategies and how the National HIV/AIDS strategy is really changing HIV prevention in the United States. And within this, we're going to have additional barriers that we're going to be struggling with trans communities, particularly barriers to testing, linkage to care, retention in care for trans populations. And so that's, we're working on some guidance, and we have a recently funded SPINS project through HRSA, which we're going to be evaluating 9 demonstration sites throughout the United States that are going to be looking at recruitment and retention of trans women in HIV treatment and care. So this is just a little bit more about some of the services that we provide. If you're interested to request some technical assistance, you can please just come talk with any of us afterwards. And I'm sorry, I have 1 minute left, and apparently I have to pose for the paparazzi over here. So thank you very much.